And we're live! Hello everyone, my name is the Celtic Wolfblood, or Pierce Fitzpatrick. I'm here with the one, the only, JV33. Please introduce yourself to the team, and to the audience that will hopefully catch our very first episode.
Hi everyone, my name is Jay, and I am a streamer. I've been streaming for 2.5 years, going on 3 soon, and I have, Pierce have, oh my gosh, I can't even speak English right now, sorry. thank you, Pierce, again for having me on this podcast. I'm really excited to be on the show. I've been on a podcast a few times, and it's so much fun, and so fun to talk about the other conversations and topics we'll be talking about. So again, thank you so much for having me.
You are more than welcome, Jay. I am thrilled to have you here. As we have spoken about in our private conversations, I have stated that you are one of the many people that I have wanted to have on my show. So if you are new here, you can go over and follow my Twitter and as well Instagram. It is on my bio. Be sure to give them a follow. And Jay, if you feel like you want to promote yourself, please do now.
Yes, so I usually stream on Twitch Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 o'clock CST. And actually, next Wednesday, September 14th, we're going to be doing a very fun celebration stream subathon, long overdue, in celebration to having a new house. So we'll be doing giveaways, community nights, and more. Would love if you guys want to join. And my other socials are on the Twitch page as well.
Speaking of Twitch, if you, the audience, feels like you want to join my Twitch as well, it is the same as my Instagram, except it is without the D. So my Twitch name is the Celtic Wolfblood. I will be streaming a variety of different games on different days. I'm not sticking to a schedule. I will stream whenever it is that I feel comfortable. However, there will be certain days for a stream schedule that I will be, of course, doing podcasts with local guests such as Jay here. Now, Jay, the very first topic I want to get through is you may have heard The Last of Us Part 1 has had a remake and it has been released. Haven't you?
A little bit. I know you talked about it more, so. But yeah, if you have anything else.
Well, Jay, I would like to speak about The Last of Us 1, Part 1, the video game that released in 2013 that has had 2 remakes now. The 2013 version was on the PS3. The 2015 one made its way over on the PlayStation 4. And now, sitting here in 2022, we have a PlayStation 5 graphical overhaul bus. What's the issue here? Sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? But no, it isn't. This is, unfortunately, what I believe it is a cash grab. It's nothing more than a cash grab. It would be very interesting to have maybe an extended story, maybe events leading up to The Last of Us Part 2. We shall be speaking about that game soon enough. But no, what does The Last of Us Part 1, the PlayStation 5, bring to the table? A few upgrades, and nothing but a graphical overhaul. And for $80, $90, you can spend on the PlayStation 5 version of this masterpiece that won over 200 awards within 2015. I'm a big Naughty Dog fan. I have loved every title that they published, including The Last of Us 1 and 2, as well as the Uncharted games. But this is very disappointing. Jay, please, I would like your opinion on this today.
Yeah, I know we chatted before, but I don't know too much about the game, but I do know that it is a popular title, and in regards to pricing, if it has exact same thing, I'm not really sure why it's, you know, more expensive, but sometimes people are willing to spend more money on a game, especially if they really, really do enjoy playing it. But if there aren't really great differences, I personally myself wouldn't see why, you know, purchasing something that's more expensive if you can buy the same game that's a little bit less. So,
well, I would have to agree with you there. For those that do have a PlayStation 5 and are aware of what it carries the PlayStation Plus collection, which is a variety of 18 different video games collected from Sony and put into one bundle for absolutely free. Unless you have to buy a PlayStation Plus membership for however long you want. You have maybe the $4 a month, you have the $25 a month, or you have the yearly membership of $60 a month. Sorry, $60 a year. And that is the option that I'm going with. And I have access to those games for free. And among those titles, those beautiful titles, that's on the PlayStation 5, we do have The Last of Us Remastered. So I feel it's extremely sad knowing that there is people that are going out of their way to pay this amount of much money for a game that has the same story, but just a graphical overhaul and faster loading times, and has every single advantage of the PlayStation 5 in terms of, as I mentioned, faster loading times, PlayStation 5 controller adaptive feedback triggers. I understand that. But please, to anyone that watches this podcast episode with myself and Jay, if you want to if you want The Last of Us Remastered, or if you want to play it for free. If you have a PlayStation 5, get it. Don't purchase the $80 remake. It's not worth it. Anyway, on to a second topic, Jay. I would like to speak about Twitch. Now, I was listening to one of my favorite streamers. I would like to give a special shout out to him. His name is Spooks and Jukes. Please go and follow him on his Twitter, Instagram, and as well YouTube and Twitch. Now, he was speaking a little bit about a sort of gender war that is going on Twitch. And I noticed one of his episodes, one of his episodes that he spoke about sexism, because there was a few men on Dead by Daylight that was harassing a female or a woman gamer. Now, we do not like that. Jay, do you really think that gender is important in the Twitch community?
No, personally, myself, I have had my own, you know, fair share of hate of being a woman on especially the gaming / content creating platform, just because there is a lot of hate when it comes to, like, oh, you know, just because a woman looks better, she's gonna bring in more viewers or grow her community faster. But that's not the case at all, because there are a lot of bigger and more famous streamers that are male as well, you know, and there are popular females that stream too. So I don't think being a different gender has anything to do with content creating, you know. So people sometimes just want to find a way to kind of belittle somebody just to make themselves feel better.
Why do you think that there is such hatred towards the opposite sex on this community? Do you think mainly it is trolling, or do you believe that there is people out there that share this mindset that believe no woman on earth should play video games?
I'd probably say that, you know, probably way back then it just wasn't as big, you know, just females being in, you know, a content creator or gaming. I feel like way back then it just wasn't as common, but now, like, we have a lot of female streamers, a lot of female gamers, so I feel like sometimes people do get jealous, you know, and I can understand sometimes, you know, I get jealous of other people, whether you're male or female, because they're so successful. But sometimes that jealousy can be such an ugly thing, because people want to tear someone else's success down to make themselves again feel better. Because let's say, you know, we started content creating at the same time, but somebody else is moving a lot quicker and they think it's because of their gender, but it really has nothing to do with that.
I will come out of the woodworks and say this. Due to that toxicity, I will say this, that I follow a lot more female streamers. Because when I go into a male stream, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know exactly what to expect. And due to a lot of toxic male streamers that I've come across, and misogynists, it has given me this mindset where I do not want to join a male streamer's community. It is very hard for me to do so. Unless there is a specific point given, or specific points to where they can be trusted, or they just show that they're not the misogynistic assholes that a good majority of the males that are on this community show. Spooks and Jukes is a very good example. He stands up for every single female gamer or female Twitch streamer that is, of course, linked to him. And what I mean by linked, it is shown on his YouTube channel. His most recent episode was involving a very good and talented Legion, and two males had interrupted her podcast. Sorry, not her podcast, her Twitch. Invaded her chat and spread a lot of negativity. We don't like that. Not want this. Jay, would you say variety is very important within Twitch and, of course, video games?
Like variety streaming?
Variety streaming, yes.
Yeah, I would say kind of depending on what you want to play. Sometimes people do want to stick to one genre, one game, or there are people who want to try different varieties. I think it really depends on what your preferences are and what you're playing. And I think one of the most important things that I've learned during streaming is if you don't enjoy the game that you're playing, your community is going to see that and they're not going to enjoy watching you if you're not enjoying playing that. So, and I've had my fair share. They, you know, usually if your community supports you, they want you to play the game that you want to play, not because you're forced to play it.
Do you think a community is extremely important and should be well addressed, or do you think a community isn't that important and shouldn't be addressed when you're on the community such as Twitch or maybe Discord, for example?
I think establishing a community is so important because without them, it wouldn't, you know, make us. Like, without them, I wouldn't be here where I am today. They are the reason why I still continue to stream, because they believe in me and believe that I can continue to find that success, and they're my support system. So I think establishing that is really, really important, because if you don't have that, I just feel like you don't really have anything. So, and I feel like if you want to continue to find that success, you need to build your own community.
And Jay, let me ask you a question. How exactly have you dealt with the toxic people that have come into your Twitch and tried to say, hey, listen, you are not good for this community, you do not deserve a platform to be able to speak your mind or to play video games for the entertainment of others, what makes you so special? Well, I'd like to ask that question to you, Jay.
Well, to be honest with you, sometimes I still don't know, even though I've been streaming for almost 3 years, what makes me stand out. I think hopefully just being myself and welcoming and warm to my community members and just being there for people when I'm able to and just shutting down haters when it does happen. You know, all we can do is take it a stream at a time and just try the best that we can and show others love and compassion. So, and I feel like, you know, one of the biggest compliments I get from my community members is that, you know, I can help bring a smile to someone's face.
Well, that is very, very heartwarming to hear, Jay. I would like to go back to the topics of video games. Can you please name your top five video games from any console, any year, any genre in particular, please?
Okay, I will try my best to list five. One of my top games is Stardew Valley. Second, Pokemon, like any of the Pokemon games I really enjoy. And three, well, the company in general, Telltale series games. They make games like Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead, Batman. I really enjoy those series as well. And fourth, I also like the series like Detroit Become Human. Really enjoy those as well.
Very good. And speaking of Detroit Become Human, I would like to give a very special shout out to Brian DeCharge and Rose Amelia. It is Blair Amelia Rose. Two very special humans within the Twitch community. And as we know, Brian DeCharge played our beloved Connor, the RK-800 within Detroit Become Human. What did you think of his performance within Detroit Become Human as, of course, Connor, Jay?
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I mean, it's such an enjoyable game, especially when you get to be, like, the different characters. But their storyline is so good, like so good, and I thought that I had heard a rumor that they would make number two, but who knows? But that would be so enjoyable to play if they made another game. Their games are just like so good.
So, Jay, would you ever be open to the idea that there is a huge sandbox game that we could all enjoy? From not a VR chat game, because we all know how toxic VR chats are nowadays, but would you be open to the idea of playing your favorite game with your favorite character?
Like a new game, or?
Yes, a new game. Oh, cool. If it had those features that had your favorite weapons, your favorite companions from past titles that we have seen and known to come and love throughout the years of gaming history.
Oh, I think that would be really enjoyable. Couldn't say no to that.
Would you be able to list exactly three characters you would like to see in your sandbox game? Say if you were the developer and you wanted to create this game, you have had to have three listed. Who exactly would you like to see?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. to be honest with you, I don't really have a lot of characters that I'm super like attached to. So I feel like that's little bit hard for me to say.
Let me ask.
I would like to hear your.
sorry, my apologies. I will answer that question and then I will get on to another one. I would like to say that my top three is, of course, Arthur Morgan, Connor from Detroit Become Human, of course. And my very first one goes back to exactly 2012 of Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Tank Dempsey.
Nice.
And as well, I would like sorry, I'm getting a little emotional here. I would like to thank Steve Blum for directing the voice of Tank Dempsey, because he was in the final map pack of Togdare Tosin in Call of Duty Black. And we will never see him again in future COD projects. And the cast of the original four that we've come to know and love, from Call of Duty World at War to Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It has been an amazing journey. And personally, I've always loved Steve Blum and his performance as the great Ted Dempsey. So. One last hurrah, as they say. I apologize, Jay. It is extremely emotional.
No worries.
Besides Arthur Morgan and, of course, Connor, the four I would like to see in that game is, of course, the original crew from Call of Duty Zombies. Jay, would you be able to tell me your favorite series that you'd love at the moment, please?
Game series. I would say, as of right now, maybe because I'm in the middle of playing it, Resident Evil 8 series.
How much do you love Resident Evil?
I played Resident Evil 4, number 7, and number 8.
Very, very interesting.
How much do I love it?
Yes.
I would say I really like it a lot. They have such a great storyline, and number 7 was really, really scary. I'm still in the middle of number 8. I'm kind of stuck with the bosses, but we're going to get there. But it's a great series overall.
Do you think character attachment is very important?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you can't really connect with the main character, then I feel like it just doesn't really make the story as special.
Now, you mentioned something about Resident Evil Village. Is there a specific boss that you were having struggles with?
I had a little bit of trouble with, I can never pronounce her name, but we know Lady, yes, at first, but I think I'm just more stuck on, usually the puzzles take me forever, but we will get there. We will get there.
Well, I do have a little bit I can share on how you can beat her. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you are, of course, new here, I do share with my guests, if they're having struggles on certain video game sections, I will share a little bit on how to get past them. So it seems here that JV is having struggles with getting past Lady Dimitrescu and, of course, her daughters. So, Jay, what exactly is the main struggle coming across Lady Dimitrescu? Is it, of course, battling her daughters, or is it battling her herself?
Sorry, I think I must have misunderstood the question. I did get past the boss. She was just one of the harder bosses compared to the second one. I'm on to the third.
So you are on to the fish monster, Moreau, if I'm correct.
I think so. I just haven't found where I'm supposed to head to yet on the map.
It is actually a very hard part of the section. In fact, it was one that I almost destroyed my controller. But then I realized as I was about to slam it down on my desk that it was worth way too much money to smash down the PlayStation 5 controller. So, Moreau is a pain in the ass, I would say, and I would agree with you on that, Jay. But listen, I'm very proud that you managed to get past Lady Dimitrescu, as, I mean, she is gorgeous, but don't let her good looks fool you. She is a vampire, after all, and we all know what vampires love to do to tasty humans. Is there any specific character in any sort of game that you have played in the past that you have really grown to have a sort of connection and attachment with that you can relate to?
I don't think any particularly at the moment. It's been a while for the game. With a character that I've been attached to.
Would you maybe say, since that you mentioned Detroit Become Human, that maybe there's one out of the three playable characters that you might have a connection with, that you feel that you are this person, that you are one of those characters, inside the story?
Yeah, I'm blanking out because it's been a long time since I've played Detroit. The main girl.
Kara.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I really liked her story a lot.
Do you think having dark stories and dark pasts in video games are essential for a video game storyline? Or do you think maybe they should be left alone? And, you know, just maybe snapped out of existence.
I think it definitely makes a story, and it definitely makes the character, and it makes everything just so much more interesting when there's just like something dark or bad, or and then they bring the good in. So I feel like it always balances itself out in video games.
Speaking of bad stories from the past, we have, to name a few, we of course have Kara, RK400 from Detroit Become Human, Jin Sakai from Ghost of Tsushima, the Mongol Invasion, Joel Miller losing his daughter, Sarah Miller, within The Last of Us, and Ellie losing Joel within the sequel. We all know that dark history within a character in a video game, and of course a movie, it grows characters, but what does it really do to the audience? It makes them terrified. In all honesty, it makes people scared. Maybe we don't want to see this kind of thing, but at the end of the day, maybe we kind of do. Maybe we do want to see this kind of behavior, and of course the kind of story arc. But then again, why do people show dark history, dark pasts within movies and video games? It's for entertainment at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on that, Jay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, Jay, would you be able to tell me your favorite genre of a video game?
As of right now. Yeah, as of right now, definitely horror. Even though it terrifies me, it is fun. But I mean, it can definitely cause anxiety and stress sometimes when you're stuck. But I feel like it is really, really fun. Sometimes I do need to take a break, but it is still one of my favorite genres. And definitely story games and indie games would be my other top favorite genre that I like to play.
Speaking of horror, do catch me on exactly Thursday. I will be doing an Outlast stream with commentary, where I, Pierce Fitzpatrick, will be diving into asylum known as? Can you look that up for me quickly, Jay, please?
Sure. The Asylum in Outlast?
Yes, please. Can you tell me the name of it?
Okay. Yeah, let me check. I am seeing Mount Massive Asylum.
Yes, so apologies there, folks. Mount Massive Asylum, I shall be heading into with nothing but my folders and my cameras. You'll be joining me to see what exactly the secrets are luring inside that asylum. I hope to catch you all there on Thursday at GMT, which is the Irish Standard Zone. Now, Jay, can you explain to me, when it comes to horror, the most thrilling aspect of what you love about us, especially in video games?
I think definitely not knowing what's going to happen next is the most terrifying, and definitely the monsters for sure, and jump scares.
Do you think, out of all the horror games that you played, right? Let's do a little comparison here. I want to compare Jack Baker to who exactly, right now, is your favorite horror character?
My favorite horror character?
Yes, from video games.
I mean, I really liked... I really liked Lady Dimitrescu, though.
Do you think Jack Baker... If any of you is, of course, confused, Jack Baker is one of the protagonists within the fantastic Resident Evil Biohazard. Do you think Jack Baker could stand a chance against the gorgeous, the 9 feet tall Lady Dimitrescu?
Ooh, I feel like that's hard to say, but I don't think so.
No, that is a very interesting answer. You don't think so? Could you care to tell me why?
I just feel like, I mean, they're both pretty powerful in their own way, but I found her to be more terrifying than him, so maybe that's why. Maybe just my own personal opinion.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that Jack Baker has a healing ability. Does Lady Dimitrescu have a healing ability?
I don't think so, but it seems like when you do try to hurt her, she didn't really hurt at first, so...
Now, is there a specific character within... of course, your favorite horror character is Lady Dimitrescu, but is there another character that you would like to see her face off with?
There is that scary guy. I actually can't remember. He was like one of the main monsters in Outlast.
Would he happen to be that big, fat pig bastard that likes to chase you around the asylum?
Yes. Yes, he's so scary in that one. I didn't mention, but I actually, one of my first horror games I ever played on stream was Outlast, and the Outlast DLC, I completed that, within my 2 month of streaming, and I'm in the middle of Outlast 2, but I don't really like the storyline too much, so I don't know if I'll finish it, but I really did enjoy Outlast and the DLC, and he's like one of the characters I'll never forget. So,
when exactly did Outlast come out, Jay? Do you remember?
When did it come out?
Yes.
I don't know. Seems like an older game.
I believe it may have came out the same year that The Last of Us came out.
Oh.
So we have two perfect... So, what we have is a semi... is basically a post-apocalyptic virus from a real life that could be based on a real life infection. If you are unaware of what I'm talking about, head on over to the Angry Joe channel on YouTube, where he gives a better explanation on this. But I will say that this, The Last of Us, is actually based on a real life infection that can happen within real life, and it is explained in multiple documentaries on YouTube how this infection can actually happen from The Last of Us. Now, of course, I would actually shit myself. I wouldn't shoot a clicker. I would shit myself if I saw one, and I believe the entire world would too, because not only are the clickers the most scariest of bastards, they're one of the most annoying within The Last of Us. I've probably died a total of 50 times due to fucking clickers. Now, Jay, I would like to say that I think horror is very impactful, but it is also extremely graphic. We've seen the likes of Manhunt, and what exactly happened to Manhunt? It was taken off of retail in different countries, including my country, Ireland. I'm not allowed to play Manhunt. I cannot go into a GameStop store, even though I'm 19 years old. I cannot go into GameStop and ask, hey, listen, you know, I got a PS2. I got the original Xbox. Can you sell me Manhunt 1 and 2? No, because you know what happened to me? I'll get arrested. The game was so graphic and it was so violent, that's why it was taken out of retail for most countries. Do you think that's a good move, Jay?
I'm not too familiar with the game, but that's kind of crazy. That I feel like if there's like an age requirement for a game, or have some kind of security to check, you know, like, are you old enough to play this game? Like, it makes sense, but to take out a game completely is... kind of crazy.
Well, I believe it makes sense because Manhunt had actually had a few inspirational serial killers that were, of course, documented on the news recently. Jay, are you aware of Slenderman, if I may ask?
I am. I don't know too much about his background story, though.
Have you played both the Slender the Eight Pages only on PC and Slender the Arrival on all consoles?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you really want to feel true fear, I would 100% recommend that you do so. Slender the Arrival and Slender the Eight Pages is one of those games that will make you question your sanity if you ever try to boot them up. Of course, you can load them up on the Steam page, your Xbox page, and of course, your PlayStation page. Slender was all over the news in 2012. A very iconic horror sort of sensation, I will say. In fact, so much so, they made a movie in 2018. Not very good, I will say. They could have done a lot more. They could have done a lot more with the character. Could have based it a little bit more on his backstory, how he became Slender Man. How do you think? So we've seen Slender Man, Jay. We've seen his tall, no, faceless expression. We've seen what he's like, how he acts. We've seen if we look at him, we die. How do you think Slender Man was born? Do you think maybe he was a human and did something so decrepit, so unhuman, sorry, what is the I do not speak English well either, so unhumane that maybe he was sent to hell and then came back as this creature sent to take children to the underworld with him.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was created or was a human before, or who knows? It would be interesting to see how he was created.
Jay, I am sensing a little bit of tiredness from you. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, that is fantastic. The last thing I would want you to do is basically be tired on a stream and then asking me to end this because we're doing so well. Ladies and
Oh, no.
gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very blessed to be on this platform. I'm, of course, an amateur. You will hear a lot of stuttering. You will hear a lot of misplaced words, just like I did there. But you have to forget. You have to remember this. Amateurs, like the famous ones, started where I'm starting. I don't plan to get famous. What I plan is to talk about specific topics that I want to talk about with people that I feel like would be a pleasure having on the podcast. And Jay here is one of them. She was one of the very first Twitch streamers that I did consider having on the podcast. I did mention it to her on one of her on one of her episodes within Twitch, and she seemed very excited. Now, I would like to mention that we have, myself and Jay, we have tried multiple times on different platforms, and Podbean is the only one that works for us, and it seems it will be my podcasting site. Jay, I would like to go back to video games, and I'd like to speak on The Last of Us Part 2. Have you played the title?
To be honest with you, I have not.
Have you seen any gameplay, any trailers at all for the game?
Maybe a little bit, but a long time ago. I know it's very popular, though.
Very popular, but also very controversial to say the least. I do not believe that I should spoil anything for you right now, even though I did
Tempting to
pre-
play now.
Sorry?
Yes, it's tempting to play now.
It is extremely, I would say, if you have the PS5 version and a nice 144 P, I think it's there was a new update on the PlayStation 5 that allowed a higher resolution than 120, which is fantastic. I think it was like 144p, something around this. And if you have a very good monitor in terms of graphics, then I would definitely say play The Last of Us Part 2. You'll be overwhelmed by the graphics alone, the amount of detail that is inside the title, what it can deliver you, how it delivers. Now, Jay, do you think developers can learn from controversial acts within video games, or do you think it is one of the most, do you think it's not right for devs to have controversial moments in games?
I think it could depend. It could make a game better if they took into consideration. But I think it just really depends, like maybe what they're talking about. But sometimes I think that if they considered more, maybe it would make a game better or yeah.
Jay, would you ever be interested in a Silent Hill reboot?
That would be interesting. I'd play it.
Well, what if I told you it's coming?
Oh no, then maybe. No, I'm just kidding. I'd play
It is, in fact, coming.
it.
The developer himself has actually tweeted, I believe, either tweeted or mentioned that a reboot for the playable teaser that was available back for the PlayStation 4, where you played as The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, star Norman Reedus. It is, of course, a new title. Might be a reboot, might be a remake, might be a remaster of the old Silent Hill games from the 90s and from the early 2000s. But let me tell you this. I think it'll be very interesting. Who would I like to see? The big bad man himself with the fucking 5-foot-long knife. Pyramid Head. Jay, have you seen Silent Hill, the movies?
I have. I think I've seen the first one, but a long time ago.
I will have to agree with you on that. The Silent Hill movie that I saw was back in, was when I was at least 15 years old. But because of Pyramid Head being added in to Dead by Daylight, instant memories clicked back to when I played Silent Hill 1 and 2. Jay, I'm trying to think of something else now, but my brain is slowly dying down. As it is getting late here in Ireland, it is exactly 25 minutes past 11. I have exactly maybe 5 to 10 to 20 minutes left with you. How have you, what was, how has your experience been with me on Podbeam so far?
It's been a great experience. Again, thank you so much for having me. I would definitely, if you ever in the future, I would definitely come back. But it's been very fun. I love the questions that you ask and super comfortable setting. I think that's what makes it great.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is actually going to be us. I have been the Celtic Wolfblood, Pierce Fitzpatrick. Before I go, I would like to announce that I do have a Discord server. If you are interested in joining me, I would like you to message me on Instagram, not Twitter. And I have exactly a few streams coming up. Thursday, I will be doing an Outlast stream. Friday, I might be doing a Far Cry stream, or I might be doing a Back for Blood 3-hour stream. Saturday, I will be unavailable, but I want to give a big shout out to the UFC, Mick Maynard, Sean Shelby, Dana White for booking Khamzat Chimaev versus Nate Diaz. If you are interested, book your tickets now, you still have time. Jay, it has been a very great and humbling time with you on Podbeam. Thank you so much for joining the show. I'll be sure to spread this far and wide as much as I can. Is there any final things that you would like to say before we wrap this up?
I don't think so, but again, thank you so much for having me on the show. It was so much fun, and yes, thank you again.
I will definitely be taking you into consideration for another episode. But that is all, folks. I've been the Celtic Wolfblood, and alongside me is JV233. Thank you, and see you next time. Bye-bye.